Oh, November already. Oh my goodness. Oh, it's been quite the time. If you've been listening to any of my other videos, when we went to the UK in September, middle of September, we both actually got COVID, and it's actually really taken till the last few days for it to really clear. I had kind of congested ear and fatigue and all those things. But anyway, I suddenly realized, oh, it's November tomorrow. So my brain is coming back into gear with COVID. So, oh, if any of you gets it, just know that that recovery time can be a bit longer than you expected. But I'm here, and it's November, and rabbit, 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 1st of November. And this month, I've done a separate video already on it, but first we have Vesta stationing retrograde. Saturn is stationing direct, and clearly I'll look at those as we go through. And then towards the end of the month, Centaur Nessus stations direct. So I'll talk about all of that as we get to it. But you can see we start the month with the heavy Scorpio energy still. Mercury is still under the beams of the sun. Mars is still under the beams of the sun within 10 degrees. Asteroid Lilith is under the beams of the sun. We're having a very intense Scorpio season with Mars, the traditional ruler of Scorpio, in the sign as well. So, you know, it's still deep. And here I record this on Halloween, where the veil is really thin. And of course, we do have Samhain, or Samhain, as it's spelled, Samhain, but it's Samhain, coming up really officially when the sun hits the 15 degree mark. That's kind of the cross quarter between the equinoxes, but we celebrate it clearly on Halloween. So that's just kind of setting the scene. We'll have some planetary changes. The biggest shift in direction is Saturn stationing direct. I'll talk about that. But also at the end of the month, we have the last exact conjunction of Eris and the North Node that is causing so much chaos. I keep hearing the word chaos, you know, used in news reports and things. And who doesn't feel like we're in chaos at the moment? And anyway, we'll look at that as we go through. But we start the month with the moon in Gemini, and on the first, there are no really huge aspects. One thing that I should mention is that Jupiter is actually at perigee now, or perihelion. Jupiter on the 1st of November is closest to Earth in his retrograde. So we're feeling the real impact of it on the Earth and in finances and things. I haven't actually looked what's happening today. But, you know, with Uranus retrograde and Jupiter retrograde in the sign of Taurus, we're seeing some volatility. We're seeing, you know, volatility in like things like the stock market. We're seeing you know, increases in some places. And I'm not a huge follower of it, but the bits I have seen, it looks pretty up and down. And I believe that kind of housing market is similar to that. It's kind of like doesn't know where it is at the moment almost. And I think that's going to continue because both Jupiter's perigee close to Earth, Mercury is coming up to perigee also. So that means that's the closest point to Earth, and the planet's energy is a little bit stronger then. Okay. So that's on the first. Other aspects we might want to talk about is that the moon does square Venus. You know, that's a trine about, you know, in two Mercury ruled signs. We may be making some decisions and choices but bear in mind that Mercury is still under the beams of the Sun. And really, well, the Moon will trine stationing Saturn, but these will be more on my daily reports. Let's move on to see if there's any bigger aspects coming up. And similarly, on November the 2nd, we don't have any huge aspects, all right? The Moon will have moved into the sign of Cancer for just over 2 days, but the biggest event on November the 2nd is Vesta stationing retrograde. And yes, I did a whole video on that, but Vesta is stationing retrograde at 7 degrees of Cancer. Now, 7 is a Saturn number. It's, you know, it's well known as a 7 number. It's about a quarter of the Saturn cycle. So when people turn age 7, there's usually a change in their life, and every 7 years, and then the Saturn returns at 29. So it's a very Saturnian number in Cancer. But not only that, and I did talk about this at length in the other video, this is in a watery trine aspect to the degree that Saturn turned retrograde at in June, and Saturn is stationing to turn direct. So I call this turning tides. So we've got a big kind of shifty, watery weekend. The Moon's joined Vesta in Cancer. Of course, the Moon will have trined Saturn just before that, on probably late on Wednesday on the 1st. But it's all very watery, very shifty. At some points, you know, this will, because the Sun is at 10 degrees and Haumea is at naught, we've kind of got this a big watery kind of swirl, a lot of emotions, a lot of shifting sands, a lot of compassion, a lot of compassion fatigue, I think, as well, going on with all this. So know that Vesta, though, is focus, devotion, and commitment. And she's the sacred inner flame. That's why she looks like a flame. And she's going to go retrograde, and she's going to be retrograde till for quite some time. She's going to be retrograde in the sign of Cancer, but she's actually going to retrograde all the way back into Gemini into next year. So that's February the 8th, 2024. She will station direct. So, but this period in the sign of Cancer is going to be quite, it's going to ask us to really focus on the sense of safety and security of our own homes, literally, like the state and our own homes. So I think you'll see a lot more people kind of pulling into their shell and going, I've got to kind of look after number one, if you like, as well. So also Juno and Black Moon Lilith are in aspect to this. And of course, Juno will oppose Pholus again. So there are going to be some more kind of things coming out of Pandora's box during this period, and probably about women's health as well. And Virgo is going to go, you know, I've had enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. So then on to the 3rd. Okay. Let me just get my list up. On to November the 3rd, the Sun comes up and opposes Jupiter. Now, I mentioned that Jupiter was actually at his closest on the 1st. This always occurs around the time the Sun opposes the slower moving planets. That's when they are closest to Earth. So just so you know. And so the Sun will oppose Jupiter on the 1st, very early on the 1st. That's the kind of 1:02 a.m. Eastern. So it'll be late on Thursday for some. Now that's big. That could bring a big shift. It could bring a big increase or a big decrease. But also it's kind of, you know, the Sun in Scorpio is looking at that Jupiter in Taurus, taking a good hard look at expanding our sense of sustainability and abundance. What does that mean for you? And then on the same time as well, Venus over here now in Virgo is quincunxing this North Node Eris conjunction that's building. It's asking us to make some adjustment from things that we learned during the Venus retrograde when Venus was in a fiery trine to Eris in the North Node. This is about really shaking things up, and Venus in Virgo is much more kind of giving and service oriented, but she's also having to make adjustments to information that's coming in and being a little bit humbled by the shakeups and the chaos caused by this North Node, I think. And then later in the day, what else do we have? Mars is trining Nessus. Mars still under the beams of the sun. Mercury about to leave, but Mars is cutting into the background. Mars is doing psychic surgery, really. It kind of feels like there's a new moon that's very powerful coming up on the 13th. With Mars there, and it does feel like psychic surgery. It feels like we're cutting to the very soul of things, not the heart. Many secrets are emerging, many probably old memories as well. It's a very powerful time indeed. And Nessus tends to reveal abuses of power. So there's, you know, probably going to be some emotion around what comes up for you. And of course, you know, these aspects like Mars and Nessus are at 15 degrees. You will have more impact from these transits if you have placements around those degrees. So it's helpful to know your own chart a little bit. You don't have to be an astrologer. It's just good to know where your planets are in the chart, so that when things are happening, you can take a look at it. And then Venus opposing Neptune on the 3rd too. So Venus is not only quincunxing these two in the morning, it's Venus opposing Neptune, going, you know, how am I really adjusting to this changing world that feels like it's almost collapsing around us sometimes? There's so much chaos, but how can I bring the energy of higher love and the collective unconscious, which is Neptune in Pisces, how can I bring that to Earth in a loving and practical way? Venus in Virgo is very humble, very practical, very purifying. There's also an element here of a good clear out, perhaps, you know, a good clear out of, you know, the home, but also energetically. So it's third is quite a powerful day. And then on to the fourth, the biggest station direct of the day, Saturn stations direct. Now, as I said, Saturn has been retrograde since June. And now Saturn is going to start covering the old ground. This is at 0 degrees, the full, the new journey, new beginnings. Saturn in Pisces is going to, I think, ask us to really start mastering this interconnectedness, to really kind of, you know, place some boundaries around it too, so that you're not kind of sucked into all the energetics so that it drains you. But this is also perhaps a bit of a time to be okay being a bit distant from the melee of the world and observation mode, but mastering kind of that self-love, that higher love on yourself. And so that's the fourth starts. The moon moves into the sign of Leo on the fourth for a couple of days. Not going to go into those. I talk about those in my Substack blog every day. At 6:47 a.m. Mountain, Mercury and Ceres meet. They actually meet at 21 degrees and 5 minutes of Scorpio. And both are still slight. Ceres is under the beams now as well. And in some ways, Mercury and Ceres have a similar energy. There was a thing called the Dei Consentis in Rome, where the six gods and six goddesses were paired up, and Ceres and Mercury were paired together. And this kind of makes sense to me. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun. And then Ceres is, I call her a planet. She's a dwarf planet. She is actually kind of in the asteroid belt, but kind of on the edge of the asteroid belt, I think, from our perspective. But either way, she is actually kind of the last planet before we go beyond the asteroid belt to Saturn and everything, dwarf planet, for those that want to correct me. But she is a powerful, powerful energy. And to my mind, they both have this bridging, transference, crossing kind of energy as well. And so it's interesting that those two are meeting at 21 degrees of Scorpio, almost in exact opposition to Uranus, who is approaching that closest point to Earth, that perigee or perihelion. I think there's going to be some shocks around that point that might bring some grief, some collective grief, might bring some, even some real Earth movements. If you remember, Ceres is also goddess of the grain. You know, there could be, you know, whole crop wiped out or something like that, something around our resources. So that's a big day, with Saturn as well stationing. So look for that day. On to the 5th. Uranus will exactly oppose Ceres on the 5th, so I'm not going to talk about that anymore because we've already talked about that. So now we'll move on to the 6th. There's not much happening on the 5th, though. So now we're on to Monday the 5th, sorry, 6th, and the moon is now in Virgo. And approach, and you know, will connect with all these goddess energies. This black moon Lilith about to leave Virgo, Hecate, Juno, and Venus, and this is increasing that Virgo and need to be useful, perhaps on the back of what's happening with the Mercury Ceres conjunction opposing. Opposing Uranus. We can see by this point that now Mercury has moved more than 10 degrees beyond the sun. So Mercury is out of the beams, spilling all the guts, spilling all the news, spilling all the messages, whereas Ceres and the sun are gathering closer together because the sun moves past faster than Ceres does, as she's got about a 4.6 year orbit up there in the asteroid belt. But what was my point? This is, you know, this is really kind of an interesting time, because Mercury is the guide for Virgo traditionally, but also Ceres has been linked to Virgo by some astrologers, and Ceres has been linked to Taurus by some astrologers. I'm a little bit iffy about the whole concept of rulership. I can see Ceres with both, but she was discovered in the sign of Taurus at 23 degrees 23 minutes. So there's a lot going on here with Ceres themes in these couple of days. You know, she is the great mother. She is about our abundance, and but also loss and grief. And she's about coming back into alignment with these cycles, you know, that nothing stays the same, that there are births and lives and deaths, and there are cycles of, you know, kind of economics and things like that. And within Virgo and in with the opposition to Taurus, you know, there may be some, she created it, literally a famine. And with these being resources, you know, there could be some news of shortages, or we could feel some lack, it's kind of unsurprising, really, because of what's going on in the world. Also on the 6th, Venus does trine Pluto, which really kind of takes us down into kind of the soul's kind of desires and what we desire, and about how are we going to kind of get down to earth and really kind of get to work to create what we need and what we desire. So yeah, that's it, I think. Oh no, Mercury leaves the beams of the sun on the 6th, Mercury will trine Neptune. So we've got another watery trine. You know, there could be some smoke and mirrors going on then, but it's also a good time to tune into messages from source, spirit, whatever you want to call it. So, okay, so let's move on to, I'm actually going to move on to, no, we'll move on to the 7th. And then get cracking. So on the 7th, the sun comes up to 15 degree mark. So you could say that's the official Samhain, but we won't quibble on that one. I like to just look at the whole period because I love this witchy time of year. I'm not a big kind of commercial Halloween fan, but I like the witchiness. And then it's trine Nessus. And, you know, that could be shining a big old light on some more secrets emerging, some more abuses of power. So that's the 7th. And that's later on the day. On the 8th, Venus moves out of the sign of Virgo before the moon gets to her and moves into the sign of Libra. And so this is her other home sign. So she's happy. Taurus and Libra are Venus's home signs. She likes being in Libra, but Libra is about balance, justice, the scales of justice, fairness. And Venus in the sign of Libra really does want to bring balance and fairness. We might find some balancing out in many ways. It's not the longest journey in Libra. Venus is really, you know, starting to pick up speed, you know, through, there you go, she's moving fast. So she'll move quite quickly through the sign of Libra. I'm just actually going to find and tell you how long she'll be there with my handy little thing. So she'll be in the sign of Libra only until December the 4th. So less than a month, 4 weeks of Venus in Libra. That's, you know, attention is probably going to turn to the scales of justice, but also it's a bit lighter, it's a bit more sociable, it's a little bit more about friends. We are moving into the dark of the moon though as well, but it is a bit lighter. We might feel like, you know, it's time to start connecting with friends after kind of this deep witchy time. And also on the 7th, no, we're on to the 8th, aren't we? Venus has moved into Libra. Venus will quincunx that station Saturn, but that's, I'll talk more in detail about that later. And of course, the moon will also follow Venus into the sign of Libra. Just after she, you can see that she's in Libra and then the moon will follow. I'm just going to pause because my cat wants to go out. You can hear her. That's Luna. I think she knows it's witching time. Black cat Luna. Bear with me. All righty. Apologies for that. She's a bit needy sometimes. Okay, so November the 9th. November the 9th, the moon joins the Venus in the sign of Libra. And earlier that day, we have the Moon Venus Gate. We could look at those in my membership, private membership community. That's going to reopen again soon, possibly on my birthday in December, actually. It's staying the same price, $23 a month, but it's going to have a new name, new things contained with it, only more. It just feels like it needed a A different focus, and it's going to be, I'm quite excited about where it's going. Okay, so on to the 10th. There's really not a lot happening. The moon makes a lot of aspects, of course, but as I've said before, I write about those daily in my Substack blog, Cosmic Owl Astrology newsletter on Substack. So just go and subscribe to that. I'll try and remember to put a link in the show details for this. Mercury moves into Sagittarius on November the 10th. Really, you know, thankfully, just before this new moon coming up on the 13th, I've done a podcast just for that as well. Kind of relieving the intensity of that Scorpio energy a little bit for the new moon, because it's quite a powerful new moon. Mercury in Sagittarius is a little bit blunt, is a little bit of the truth teller. I have Mercury in Sagittarius, can have foot in mouth syndrome, said to be in detriment, but I kind of like Mercury in Sagittarius. I kind of like being a truth teller. But it's also about learning higher philosophies, higher truths. But I think some truths could really start to come out. And Mercury in Sagittarius, the first aspect is to a square to Saturn that has only just stationed direct. So there could be some hard truths told, and some element of things that kind of stop you in your tracks, really, but also some clarity. So that's quite, you know, a decent one. There's no other really major aspects on the 10th. Juno comes up, and Jupiter and Juno trine each other. We're really being called to get back to this interconnectedness. I've talked about it loads. You know, we really are, in many, many ways, being asked to remember that everything is connected. That, you know, if something happens to a refugee in another country, it hurts all of us. And to just return to kindness and love in so many ways. I'm trying to avoid mentioning any of the actual politics. I talk about them enough. All right, so November the 11th, Armistice Day. So that was the end of the war. And Mars, the god of war, opposes Uranus exactly. And that could really bring out some shocks. There could be something that really shocks us around power games and resources, secrets coming out. Mars opposing Uranus, you know, Uranus closest to Earth pretty much right now. That could really kind of be a bit of a Lord of Lightning bolt moment in many ways, emotionally, and that, you know, there's quite the potential there for kind of literal kind of earthquakey kind of energy, natural kind of disaster kind of energy as well. So note that on the 10th. And as you can see, the moon has now moved into Scorpio, ready for the upcoming new moon. On to the 12th, just before the new moon, you can see the moon's getting closer. We're kind of late on the 12th. I don't know how I got there. I do, but never mind. But on the 12th, there's actually no huge, huge aspects that I'm going to talk about. So we'll go to the new moon, I think. Let's just get the moon conjunct the sun. I've done a whole podcast on it, so I'm not going to go into full detail. I am just going to say we have the new moon on that 13th. And look at this Scorpio energy, and the new moon really is opposing Uranus and square to Black Moon Lilith. So, you know, there could be things erupting, and if at a personal level, especially if you have planets around those degrees, you know, it could be, you know, things coming up about shame, things coming up about vulnerability or things that happen. The shocks could bring that up for you in a lot of ways. Needless to say, that day Uranus is at its closest to the Earth, so very powerful. This new moon actually almost feels kind of a bit more powerful than the last eclipse in many ways, because of this close opposition with Uranus close to Earth, because it's opposing the Sun, and because it's got Mars there. So look out for that new moon. Watch my whole new moon video, please. On November the 14th, which would have been my dad's birthday, he would have been 88 now. Wow. He died too young, but that's many years ago. Venus reaches 6 degrees of Libra, and Vesta's retrograde. Venus comes up and squares Pandora's box asteroid, a centaur. I did talk about this on the New Moon podcast, but this T square is also likely to kind of rock our boats a little bit as well, and have us reflecting again on that focus of shoring up our sense of being safe and protected. Okay, Cancer does like to be safe and protected in that shell and with the pincers. So that's the 14th. On the 15th, no, I am going to talk about that. On the 15th, Pallas Athena, the wise owl, haven't really talked about her much, but she is going to square Pluto on that day. Pluto is starting to finish up his journey in Capricorn. He moves out of Capricorn early next year into Aquarius, and then has a really short visit back into Capricorn later in 2024, and then we'll be fully in Aquarius. I'll be looking at that in detail in the webinar I'm doing actually on the 15th. I am doing a 2024 webinar, so I'll put that in the details below. It's not a free webinar, but it's going to be 2 hours plus, depending how many questions we've got. There's going to be, the slides are going to be available for download, and also a transcript of the main part of the call will be available to download afterwards. So check out that if you want to come and join me. Of course, it's going to be recorded if you can't attend live. So anyway, back to the 15th. So on the 15th, we've got Pluto trine Pallas Athena. That's a nice one for kind of the giving the plan and the strategies for the year ahead, actually. So I picked a good day for that, and I picked it for other reasons, but never mind. We picked it anyway. I often find the dates pick me. So looking at the 16th, there's actually no major aspects on the 16th. So, but of course, we're just under the new moon. The moon's starting to gain light in Sagittarius. But on the 17th, okay. So here we are, we're on the 17th. The moon's moved into Capricorn, but Mars is over here. The Sun is catching up to Mars, if you notice, but we'll talk about that when it gets there. So these three, Mars, Ceres, and the Sun, are very tight in Scorpio. I think that period with them around that new moon is deeply intense. And I do think there may be some events that cause kind of collective grief, at least. And Mars is trine Neptune on the 17th. So there may be feelings of loss, and a loss of energy and will and drive. We're still in the new moon. It kind of feels like a lot. Things feel very weighty right now, right? And just know that this is, you know, a real time to pull down that shell and really kind of go into that sense of safety and security. Later that day, the Sun also trines Neptune after Mars. So really, they are trining together. Asteroid Lilith, and that's adding to that sense of low energy, sink in. It's a Friday. Try and take it easy. Sink into your intuition. Do some deep inner soul searching. There's a lot of that this Scorpio season, more than usual. Jupiter opposes asteroid Lilith, also on the 17th. She's kind of coming up behind, going, I've had enough. Talk to the hand. I'm not. I just can't do this anymore, kind of thing. I've got to, you know, you've got to let me kind of do my thing. People are getting tired. And I've noticed that people are kind of tired. They're kind of saying, no more, I'm not doing this anymore. It's time to take a stand. I've had enough of, you know, being disempowered and things. So, but it's feeling a bit drained around this time of the month. On the 18th, the Mars and the Sun meet exactly. Okay, and if you notice, they meet at 25, which is a 7, though that's in a 7 year. We are being called to this higher consciousness over and over. And if we are ignoring what's happening in the world and realizing that we have to move into this higher consciousness, then I don't know what to say. But this is what's happening. And these aspects are just pulling us more and more. This is that deep soul exploration that's been happening all month. But Mars in Scorpio is like that psychic surgeon. He digs deep, and he digs deep into revealing more secrets, but also mining those inner diamonds and buried treasure that we can, you know, Scorpio's got that resources that come right down from that sacral root chakra area of saying, come on, you can do this. You can really dig in and really kind of be very determined to build your own sense of sustainability with your resources. So that's on the 18th. 19th. So on the 19th, Pallas Athena joins the party in Scorpio, the cosmic owl. So owls, you know, can see in the dark, and they've kind of got this, you know, wisdom that pierces. Well, here's that goddess of wise justice and the problem solver and creative intelligence in the dark. She's piercing now. So, you know, she's joining into that party to search in those shadows and the murk of Scorpio to see into the dark. Good grief, what a month for shadow work. It's quite astounding. And then we move on to, let's have a look on the 20th. We're bombing along. Again, you know, I'll look at the moon on my daily blogs on Substack. Okay, and go into more detail in all of these. But on the 20th, we do have the, look at this, all at 27 degrees now. And Sun and Ceres meet exactly. And so this is, you know, kind of finishing up this journey. You know, the psychic surgery is wrapping up, that we're being suited. We're kind of saying, okay, I've got to do some healing. I have to kind of reunite and come into acceptance of the cycles, that there's going to be some loss and things like that. It kind of feels like sewing the sutures, I should say, on that day. They're all happening almost simultaneously, that the Sun is exactly conjunct Ceres. The Moon will move into Pisces and conjunct Saturn for the first time since the station direct. This has a real sense of wrapping up. This is a 9, 2 plus 7 is 9, endings. This is still at that infinite potential, alpha and omega of the zero. endings and beginnings and drawing a hard line on something and saying, I can't do this anymore kind of thing, or enough, I'm not doing this anymore. A hard no, if you like. And of course, Saturn and the moon, when the moon moves in there, trine the wise owl Pallas Athena too, piercing into the dark for whatever's been dug up. It's a hard, I'm not doing this now or anymore. So on to the 21st. We have Pluto will actually come up to sextile Pluto. The Sun was sextile Pluto. Ceres was sextile Pluto. Pluto is the modern ruler of Scorpio. Mars is the traditional ruler of Scorpio. It's going to dig a bit deep, this aspect, you know. It's just like soul diving this month. It really is. It's soul diving into secrets, soul diving to find a buried treasure, soul diving into that shadow, some of the murk being excavated, perhaps welcomed and perhaps not, although it's better out than in. So it's a heavy, heavy month, and we're nearly at the Eris North Node exact conjunction. So the chaos is still there. I'll be kind of glad when that one's over, to be quite honest. And I miss positive all the time, pretty much. Anyway, on to the 22nd, my favourite time of year. Sagittarius season, because I am a Sagittarius. I actually love Scorpio season too. But on the 22nd at 9:02 a.m. Eastern, the sun will move into Sagittarius and things start to lighten up a bit and liven up a bit. Sagittarius, you know, quite honestly, likes a good party. Well, or they do when they're younger, particularly. I don't so much these days, but, you know, it's the time of year, you know, we start to kind of, you know, the frivolity starts and the celebration for the holidays and we start to kind of put the decorations out. But Sagittarius is just, you know, more optimistic. It's their optimism does start to come back when the sun moves into Sagittarius. Thank the heavens, right? Scorpio's wonderful, but it can be a little bit intense, to say the least. On the same day, after the sun moves into Sagittarius, Venus will oppose Chiron. This is Venus saying, come on, we can, you know, you can look at these kind of identity wounds and we can look at how we are not, how I am not working for the we, so to speak. This is, you know, can poke holes in any relationships if you have planets or angles around 15 degrees of Aries, Cancer, Libra or Capricorn. This can kind of show the holes in relationships, but that's so we can heal, right? If we choose. Okay. And let's move on to the 23rd. Seem to be getting on quite fast now. And the sun in Sagittarius squares Saturn. And so that's kind of sobers things up a little bit. Kind of says, come on, you know, there's all this chaos in the world. You can't just jack off. You can't just, like, you know, mess around. We've still got to, you know, take things, some things very seriously. Take this vision of a more interconnected world more seriously. So that's on the 23rd with the sun square Saturn. And then on to the 24th, Mars actually joins the sun. It's there at 2 minutes, but Mars will move into Sagittarius. Scorpio season really ending. Mars in Sagittarius in a fire sign. Mars likes fire signs. Mars is kind of saying, I'm ready to go. But also this can be a bit rash. So I'm kind of glad there's a square to Saturn, actually. I've had Mars in Sagittarius. It's very driven, gets a lot done, lots of action, and may feel a bit held back by the square to Saturn when Mars moves into Sagittarius. But I'm okay with it because it's a bit of a steadying hand on the fact that on the same day, the moon meets Eris and meets the North Node just 3 days before their exact conjunction. So this is a bit discordant, a bit disruptive. You know, there's a bit of chaos, a bit of saying it's time to take a stand for, you know, for the outsiders, for the marginalized. That's Eris. Time to shake some tables. Mars, luckily Saturn's there going. And of course, Mars is the modern, is the ruler of Aries of that conjunction. Luckily, Saturn is there with a steady hand saying, hold on. We can do this slowly. We don't need to just rush at it like a bull at a gate or like a ram at a gate, to be precise, with Mars and Aries. So that's happening on the 24th. Now, on the 25th, Ceres also moves into the sign of Sagittarius. So you can see what an energy shift this is. And Ceres is now moving towards the future too. She is saying, we can, yes, we can heal this. But again, at least the moon has moved off this. This conjunction is not high, is not exact yet. But the fire energy is building. Mercury's whizzed through Sagittarius. If you remember, he just went in. And we're heading towards a full moon as well. And Mercury is heading towards a trine with this applying conjunction as we head to a full moon. So the chaotic energy, but the will to do something and the will to take a stand and the will to vision and move and to create a better future is high. But also the shadow of Sagittarius is dogmatism. And we can see a lot of dogmatism out in the world. This energy can be very dogmatic and going my way's right, no, your way's right, my way's right, your way's right. And Jupiter, the ruler of all this Sagittarius, is retrograde. And there's the moon with it in quite stubborn Taurus. So there might be a lot of digging in of heels. And anyway, it's, and Venus is approaching the South Node too. So things are getting very heightened towards the full moon at the end of the month. So Mars, yeah, squares Saturn. Ceres coming up to square Saturn. They keep following each other, really. So, and then on the 26th, we're not quite at the full moon yet. Nope. This is the day before the big Eris North Node exact conjunction. The moon will meet Uranus, you know, a little bit more surprising. I don't always talk about the moon on these things, but in the middle of all this, with all the other stuff coming on, you know, just before a full moon, things are getting a little bit like, oh, yeah, like revelation, things coming to light. We'll look at the full moon briefly in a second. Truths coming out. A lot of it very blunt, some of it very shocking, that kind of thing. But also, you know, this is very good for creative. If you've got a project, you know, you're going to get a real boost of forward energy with all this Sagittarius energy and this fire energy. You'll feel more fired up after that intense Scorpio season to actually do things. Fire likes to create and is passionate, right? So that's and then on the 26th later, I'm not going to get it exact, but that's when Mercury exactly trines these two, the North Node and Eris, saying, come, yeah, we are going to speak out. You know, that's the kind of day there could be really big marches, big protests, all that kind of thing, you know, kind of like the bullhorn going, I'm going to speak the truth. Anyway, let's have a look at the next day, the 27th, nearly at the end of the month. We're now at the full moon on the 27th, and the moon is at 4 degrees of Gemini, opposing the sun. Mars still conjunct the sun. So Mars was conjunct the new moon, and now is conjunct the full moon. And Ceres also. There, in fact, it's kind of funny because on the new moon, we had 20 degree Sun, 22 degree Mars, 24 degree Ceres. So they were 2 degrees apart, 2 degrees apart. Now we have 0, 2, 4, 2 degrees apart, 2 degrees apart. They've just all reversed places, basically. And you can see that Mercury is still in a trine with this. This is really rather a big full moon, and it's in mutable signs. Hecate is square to the full moon, the goddess of the crossroads. Really, it's still in square to Saturn. This is really kind of immutable grand cross. Hecate is the way shower. And this is saying change. We've got to change. We've got to change direction. We've got to. Okay. Later that day, Eris and the North Node are exact. I'm not going to say there's going to be any more chaos that day, except that it's on a full moon. And we all know that emergency rooms fill up on those days. And really, Pluto is still square to the nodes. Venus is about to hit the South Node. I should actually add fixed star speaker in here. She has these major connections to Israel, actually, according to one of my friends who studies these things. So let me just get speaker. She was on, we had the eclipse on the 14th of October here. You can see, look, speaker and the South Node almost exact, with Eris and the North Node currently, and I don't, please don't attack me, I'm reporting the protests in the calls for a ceasefire are building. And this has interesting connections to Israel's chart, I think it's the ascendant. And so on the South Node, something's got to give, and Venus is strong there. So this is, you know, going to be a real kind of tipping point, because it's on a full moon too. Okay, so I'm not kind of giving any opinions. This is just a very powerful full moon. Speaker, though, is a fortunate star, but it's also on the South Node. And that's the releasing end. Something's kind of got to give. You know, somebody's got to compromise here for the good of the outsiders. You know, some of the shocks along the way that I've talked about could be more things like the bombing today of a refugee camp to get one guy from Hamas, killed a lot of refugees in this camp. And so, you know, Israel justified it, or the IDF justified it, but I think people are not buying it at the moment. So I'm not really giving my opinion. I'm reporting what I'm seeing out there. Okay, so don't shoot the messenger. Oh, although I do support a ceasefire, but I'm not really trying to stir things up there, because I just don't like to see people getting hurt. At the same time as all of this happening on the full moon, Mercury is actually square Neptune as well. So there's going to be confusion on this. This is chaos and confusion, mixed messages, unclear, everything. And it's a decision point. And 4 is a pretty stable number, actually, though. So maybe it will be a tipping point to actually shift the direction of a few things. Okay, so I think I've said enough about that, but I'm going to do a whole podcast on it as usual, and I'm not going to say any more on that. So looking forward, we don't have much happening on the 28th of note. no major aspects. So let's get to the 29th. The 29th, the moon starts to wane, and that's the day that Nessus stations direct. And that could be a bit of a tide turner as well. Nessus buck stops here, revealing abuses of power, right still under that full moon, right as Eris on the North Node. I think whatever is revealed coming out then is going to, you know, be like, we are done. We are not doing this anymore kind of thing with Nessus stationing direct. And again, I'll look at that in more detail closer to the time. On the 29th as well, Venus will come up later in the day. Venus and the nodes are moving. Venus will be conjunct the South Node, opposing the North Node later that day, her own North Node. And that's pretty strong. That's saying, yeah, compromise. We've got to do some negotiating here. Get around the table, all that kind of energy. And then is it any other? Well, and then, of course, Venus will oppose Eris as these two start to pull apart. So it's just a continuation. That is a very big full moon at the end of the month, kind of very discordant. But when Nessus opposes, turns direct, it's opposing Juno. Juno, our sacred contracts, that's another kind of sign that people are saying, I've had enough. It's time to, you know, remember that we're all connected, time to come together. This is our sacred contracts, time to just be a little bit more humble and yeah, compromise. Then on to the last day of the month. Are there any major aspects? Well, let's just get the chart to the last day of the month. And we'll, that's not the last day. There's not much on the 29th. So this is the last day of the month. And then we'll be into December. So the moon started to wane from the full moon. I need to just go down a little bit. Vesta, remember Vesta's retrograde. Vesta will trine Pallas Athena over here in Scorpio. That is pretty good for, you know, negotiations and bringing some more stability in and some wisdom into the mix, which we seem to be sorely lacking at the moment in many parts of the world. I think that's about it, except that the moon on that day, at the end of the day, at the very end of the month, almost midnight, the moon, the Cancer moon, will square the nodes and Eris and Venus. So, you know, that's, well, it will square the nodes, then the next day square the others. So that will be a bit of a turning point from for this big opposition here. That's kind of saying it's time to take a stand, time to, you know, stand up for the marginalized, and let's sit down and talk about it and negotiate, hopefully. So, and that's in many ways, that's that balance, rebalancing within all of us as well. Now then, I did actually pull some cards for this month as well. So let me stop the share. I just pulled three cards to give you an overview. Please don't forget to subscribe to my channel while we're there. If you've watched my Saturn and Vesta station video, you will know I pulled this for the Vesta station retrograde. But this is I Am Vision. So this is, we feel outside of ourselves, swimming in the unconscious and surrounded by dreams, swimming to great depths as we journey towards wholeness. This is really the only way to start off this month with that intense Scorpio energy, is working with the shadow and swimming in those depths, okay, and really kind of swimming to great depths on our journey towards wholeness. That's that card. So then the next card I pulled for the month is actually I Am Revelation. So this is, you know, knowing we've survived, knowing we've been battered, knowing, you know, we've been through challenges, rock bottom, our egos are battered. But the good news is that the worst is over and it's time to look forwards, not backwards. Okay. And finally, I Am Productive. There is quite a lot of earth energy this year. And this is, well, let me, Virgo, there's a lot of Virgo. We, and that's skills. And we are validated and know that our skills are appreciated and acknowledged. Our work and service is productive and will reap rewards that may be financial, emotional, or spiritual. This is a good time to assess in which direction our work is going. Does our work truly encompass who we are? Or perhaps we might feel we need to add to our skills. For now, let us admire our efforts that have led to recognition and achievement. We all have talents and abilities that are an important part of who we are. Hard work, commitment, determination, and tending will continue to improve our skills and deliver accomplishment and satisfaction in our lives. There you go. So thank you. November, bit chaotic, deep. The worst is over. December looks a little bit better. 2024 has its challenges because of a few things. So I hope you'll consider joining me on my preview webinar. But, you know, I kind of think we're heading in the right direction. A lot of astrologers have said that, you know, things don't start to straighten out till 2026. I think we're on the way, to be quite honest, you know, but we're not out of the woods yet. So join me on that 2024 webinar, if you like. And if not, don't worry, just subscribe to my channel and I'll see you on the next video.